So I saw the title of this article in Forbes magazine. It was Serious Lessons from Comedian Chris Tucker's $14 million IRS Bill. And I wanted to find out about it, so I contacted the author. His name is Robert Wood. He is rated among the top six tax lawyers in the United States. He's written many books, over 30 books. He's a tax columnist for Forbes, as I said, and he's extremely well known in the industry. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Serious Lessons from Comedian Chris Tucker's $14 million IRS Bill. How did he end up doing that?
Well, I want to be clear. I don't represent Chris Tucker, and I guess I don't want to offend people, but my guess is that he probably needs some good representation. He certainly let things snowball, and once you do that with the IRS or any other tax authority, you're in trouble.
Yeah. What is the threshold for the IRS to actually levy a tax lien on you?
Tax liens, can be surprisingly small. I mean, mostly what it means is that you are not paying and not responding. So the IRS gets worried. They lien things quite routinely. It doesn't have to be millions of dollars. It may actually only be hundreds, but I guess usually it's thousands of dollars. And it simply means that they're going to get their money eventually. Mm-hmm. So it's not a terrible thing. It's bad for your credit, but
yeah,
it's actually good in terms of sort of keeping the IRS off your back, because they do tend to feel more relaxed, the IRS, when they have a lien.
Yeah, so you mentioned that it can have some bad effects on your credit. I can understand that. Does it have any other, first of all, is it public knowledge, or does it have any other bad ramifications?
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it is public. It's a public filing. It's something that anybody can find out if they do a credit check on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically designed so that the world knows that the IRS has a claim on your assets. And it does extend to all of your assets, wherever they are, including assets that you might acquire after the lien goes on.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a perp walk for non-payers, you know?
Yeah, you could say it that way, yeah.
Right. So how does one fight these?
Well, I think I mentioned in the Chris Tucker piece that there's been a few famous people. Dionne Warwick was one who actually managed to convince the IRS they were wrong about a lien. But usually, enough things have gone badly by the time a lien goes on that the IRS is right. The IRS is going to get its money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, fighting it really is more a matter of keeping them at bay and getting them paid. Oftentimes, it is based on your own returns. So it's not necessarily based on audit. So if you report that you owe them taxes and you simply can't pay it, you file your returns but you don't pay, or
yeah,
your payment bounces or something like that, you still owe the money and eventually you're going to have to pay.
Mm-hmm. So there's a celebrity, you know, we tend to take notice of these people. You know, you said, was it Dionne Warwick that fought and won?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
But she still paid $1 million, according to your article.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. Oftentimes winning is sort of a relative term.
Yeah.
You know, it's the old death and taxes thing. I mean, you really can't escape taxes. Everybody has to file a return. You know, you don't want to fail. That was Wesley Snipes. One of his problems was failing to file. So you don't want to fail to file. You need to file. You need to be accurate. They're always signed under penalties of perjury. People forget that. So you want to be truthful. But, of course, the law is sufficiently gray that oftentimes you can, you know, get some advice and hopefully not pay too much. But you got to pay. And if you settle with the IRS, it's almost unheard of to settle and pay nothing. You got to pay something to make them go away.
Okay. So even non-U.S. citizens, though, can receive tax liens, and this is something I don't really understand. The great fighter Manny Pacquiao, I understand, had a tax lien of like $18 million or some huge number. How can a non-U.S. citizen end up having to pay taxes and then therefore have a tax lien?
You got to feel for somebody like, I don't know that much about Manny Pacquiao, but I mean, he's supposedly very charitably minded, funds all sorts of great things in his home country of the Philippines. And of course, he's, you know, he's a famous fighter, and most of his fights have been in the U.S., and that is what brings him to U.S. tax problems. So he's a non-resident and non-citizen. He's a Philippine national, doesn't live in the U.S., but he comes here to fight in Vegas, I think, primarily.
Sure.
And so he makes money fighting, and that is like any other athlete or entertainer or anybody else who comes here and makes money in the U.S., he can be taxed here. The IRS actually has a separate unit that deals with athletes and entertainers, and, you know, as you can imagine, there's big money involved. So he has been caught, and to my knowledge, is still caught between the IRS and the Philippines tax authorities because each of them is trying to get money. And to some extent, each authority is saying, gee, I paid in the U.S. or I paid in the Philippines. So it's proverbial rock and a hard place.
Yeah. And there's treaties between our countries and the Philippines that should deal with all this, right?
You know, they're treaties, and I mean, they're often tax treaties, but it's usually true, and I see this sometimes with dual nationals, people who are filing tax returns in the U.S. on their worldwide income and somewhere else, Canada or the U.K. or somewhere. Frequently, even though they're not supposed to be paying double tax, frequently they do pay some. It's not a perfect system, and even tax credits and tax treaties don't often wipe out everything.
And not to mention the very large costs for attorneys and to fight these things, you're going to end up paying, you know, probably a very large amount just to process and to get your way, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And it's one, I mean, obviously I'm in business of advising people and helping them fight tax bills and helping them plan and those sorts of things. But it is true that, I mean, it's a complex system. The U.S. tax system is enormously complex. It's far worse than it was 35 years ago when I got out of law school. I mean, it's a super complex system. And then you add to that the complexities of sort of cross borders and international work. And
yeah.
People do get tired of paying lawyers and accountants, and yeah. You know, understandably.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, in another article you wrote, the best tax excuse ever for not paying taxes was from a French minister who failed to pay income taxes for 3 years because he said he had a phobia of France's mass of bureaucracy. Tell us more.
I like this one. I mean, I have a lot of phobias. I think having a phobia, this, of course, he's being widely panned, even in France, as sort of a bit of a flake. Of course, it's embarrassing to have a government minister, you know, who's supposed to be helping the public and providing, you know, services in the government to be not paying his taxes, not filing returns, those kinds of things. So it struck me as an interesting, you know, oddity that his tax excuse was just this phobia, which I don't think is going to save him.
Yeah, but he also failed to pay rent on his Parisian apartment for the same reason.
Oh, that's a small detail, though. I mean, surely that just shows how good his phobia is, that it covers not only taxes, but other things like
okay.
rent.
All right. Well, maybe that has some strength. And in, I think, the height of corporate speak, in this case, government speak, he was fired 9 days later when it was discovered that he, quote, had problems of conformity with his taxes, end quote.
Yeah, I like that one, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can learn something from the way these people communicate, and makes us think of our own government, I think, with how things get spun a particular way, and that's why people, you know, need media consultants, I guess.
Yeah, does anybody really say what they mean and without, you know, getting in trouble or having some politically correct people rain down on them? It's very, very hard to speak your mind. And I guess France is pretty far ahead of us there, but I think we're slowly catching up, perhaps.
I think so, too.
Yeah, you know, the final part of this is that he is also refusing to give up his parliamentary seat. And you say because maybe that's just another aspect of his administrative phobia, you know?
Yeah, you wonder how far it can be carried. But it is true that all sorts of strange excuses, I mean, maybe the stranger the better, you know, maybe that works. Who knows?
What kind of excuses can help you reduce your tax liability? I mean, I know the IRS, who's been in trouble with Congress, has started to lose quite a lot of emails. Is losing emails a good excuse? Will that get you some leniency with the IRS?
I think that's a sensitive one now, as you just noted. I mean, a loss of records is not a typically good one unless you have hopefully a better, you know, reason than, oh, your hard drive crashed, sort of the lowest learner excuse. But it is true, and I have seen it, that something like a natural disaster, I mean, the IRS is surprisingly forgiving when there's something that is demonstrable, like a fire, your house burns down, and obviously you lose a heck of a lot more important things than your tax records. It's also true, and it's been true since the 30s, that you can, even without receipts, you can support deductions if you have what the IRS refers to as other credible evidence. You know, you may have to go in and testify in court, but there's a famous case involving George M. Cohan, a Broadway producer,
mm-hmm.
who did just that and who supported, he paid for everything in cash, but he was convincing on the witness stand, and that case still stands.
So maybe a little acting can come in handy. You know, there was, we're running out of time, but I want to bring up this one point, that there was an IT consultant who avoided going to jail by claiming that the tax fraud he committed was because he was bipolar. So how much does emotional and mental problems weigh on the decision of the IRS to forgive you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of made fun of that, the bipolar one, but I mean, it isn't a laughing matter. And if it's real, I think the answer is that it can indeed keep you out of jail, or it could help you with penalties. I mean, to be clear, it's not going to help you not pay taxes. You're still going to have to pay, and you're still going to pay interest on the taxes if you're late. But something like, you know, substance abuse or a mental disorder, if it's real and if you can support it with doctor letters and things like that, those can indeed help. And, you know, being bipolar, it can obviously mess up your life and, you know, lead to problems in tax filings. And, you know, that is a legitimate excuse if it's real on your facts.
My guest, Robert Wood, one of the top six tax lawyers in the United States, listed by United States Lawyer Rankings, and author of 30 tax books, and he writes for Forbes magazine. Rob, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.